Good morning and welcome along this morning. Thanks for having me here. It's been a while since I've stood behind this pulpit, but the very first time I preached was right here. It's a special place for me and Bridget. There was a time 20-something years ago that the Lord spoke to me. He says, "Ben, you've got to get stuff sorted out in your life. You've got to get your life right." And I was living here in Bendigo, and I thought, well, I need to go and talk to someone. And I knew there was a church here, a good church. So I came on a Sunday night, thought I'll go to the church the evening service. So I turned up at 7 o'clock and got to the closing hymn. And I walked in there and thought, you know, are people going to accept me? Are they going to help me? And of course, Mrs. DeYoung was there. She ran up to me, just about ran, and put her arms around me, and I'm thankful for that. And it's emotional for me to get up here, I can tell you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm not some sort of eloquent preacher that knows the depths and the ins and outs and all the rest of it. But the Bible tells me if God's done something for you, you can share it. And I want to be an encouragement, first of all, today to this church. And the title of my message is called Sticking with the Stuff. And, you know, it's a pleasure to come here. And many of the faces that I see here I know and I've worshipped with. And there's a lot that I don't know, and I've never worshipped with, but I trust that things haven't changed that much since we were members here. So let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I'm going to read quite a few verses from 1 Samuel chapter 30, just so that we can get a few points. So if you'll bear with me, I'll just knuckle down and get it read so that we can talk about the things in this chapter. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 30. It says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar of the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days ago and I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them, David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, This is David's spoil. David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor, and they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial and those that went with David, and said, Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we look into the scripture this morning. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and worship you. We thank you, Lord, that again, that you revealed yourself to us and you've made yourself known and you've given us your word, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for the promises that are contained within the scripture. We ask, Lord God, that you would teach us something this morning, give us something that would benefit us in our walk with you, and help us, Lord God, to appreciate what you've got to say today. In Jesus' name, amen. It is good that we can be here and worship. And as I was saying, the title of the message is sticking with the stuff. And you know, it's nice to know that when you go into another town or another place, even another state, that you can find a church that you know you can worship in. And I noticed when we walked into the foyer there, which has changed over the years, that you've got the missionaries and you've got the string attached where they were, and looked at that, and I've said, well, they're the same missionaries that we support. And it's nice to see that same spirit, that same, what would you call it? It's like coming home. I know that I can do that. And when we look into the bulletin this morning, we see those same pastors that we're praying for. And we see the same churches on your prayer list that we're praying for. And it's nice that after all these years, which is, I think for me, some 22 years since I first came here to worship here. And we visited before that when the church was down in the bottom of Ophir Street there. And certainly the first service that was held here I was at. A lot of first things for me. I remember coming to an anniversary service, and I think Pastor, it might have been an anniversary service, Pastor McConnell was the guest speaker. And I responded. I came up the front. And I said, I want to live for the Lord. I want to do the right thing. I don't know if any of you can remember that. But you don't see people now responding in that way. It would be encouraging if we saw that occasionally. And, you know, you struggle through life. But the focus is that I gave my life to the Lord, and that's what I want to continue to do. Got faults, yes. But it's good that we can come here and I know and I can understand what I'm going to hear, what I'm going to sing. And we see a story that we're looking at that David was actually out to go to war against Judah, against the Israelites. And if you know your history just here, you'd understand that David was living in Ziklag. He was amongst the Philistines. And it's a shame that that's where he was. Wouldn't it be a shame if you lived your life the way God wanted it to be lived and you couldn't come and worship here? Wouldn't that be a shame? And we know that David was pushed from pillar to post and persecuted into this place, and he had a band of men that were basically outlaws and exiled, and they'd gone over and formed an alliance with Achish, the king of the Philistines. So David was in a position where he was no longer welcome in the place he ought to have been. He was amongst the Philistines, and Achish gave him Ziklag to live in. And David did some stuff while he was there. If we flick over and look at a couple of verses in 1 Samuel and chapter 27... We can skip that and go down to, let me see, 1 to 7. Okay, how about we look at verse number 8. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old, the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and oxen and asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Now Achish is the king of the Philistines. And Achish said, whither have ye made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest thou should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. Yeah, David had been out warring, but he told Achish a different story. He'd been out warring against those people that Saul ought to have been warring against. But he told a half-truth. He was telling lies. He was building an alliance so that he could maybe put his feet up while he was living in Ziklag. He built this alliance up with Achish. So Achish was comfortable with David being there. And so when the Philistines made war against Israel, Achish chose David to be his backup. David followed Achish into war where all the Philistines were assembling to come against Israel. And he followed Achish up in the rearward, it says. And of course, when the Philistines saw who was with their king, they're like, hang on a minute. He's not coming with us. we're likely to get into the thick of the battle when the heat's on. This guy's going to turn. He's going to start helping the Israelites to get favour with them. So they sent David home. They said, you can go back to Ziklag. Achish said, you got to go. So a few days went by, they passed by, and when they got home, they find their houses burnt, all their goods taken, every last little bit, nothing left. So Ziklag was burned. They took all their sons, all their daughters, all their belongings, all their stock, and they fled wherever they went. We don't know. We know it was the other side of the brook Besor. But I just wonder what it would be like if I was to come home from work one day and there's my house burnt and my family kidnapped. How would I feel? And I want us to think about a few things this morning as we look at just a few portions of this. Put yourself in David's position. But I want us to think of Ziklag as the place that wasn't defended. When David went to war, he took all his men. And he followed Achish into that battle. And he came home and he had all these problems to contend with. The first thing I noticed is, it's don't do a job that God hasn't told you to do. Don't do a job that God hasn't given you to do. We've all got our jobs. We've all got our work that we ought to be involved with within the church. That's what we need to do. We don't need to interfere with someone else's work. We need to know our place. The other thing is, don't leave your church unguarded. An unguarded church is going to be easy prey for our enemy. Satan would love to find a church unguarded. He would love to come in a church where the people are off doing their own thing and not doing what God would want them to do. Don't leave your church unguarded. You know, not everyone is called to the mission field. Many, many years ago, and this missionary is a great guy and working hard for the Lord, don't get me wrong, and I don't know what he necessarily meant when he said it, but he got into our pulpit and he said, you know, you rich farmers and you people, you should sell everything you've got and give the money all to the missionaries. And, you know, it offended some of our people. And, you know, it took a little while to get over that for some of our people. But, you know, God hasn't called every person to go out onto the mission field. God sent his son to set up churches, to establish churches. And it's funny that you should be in the book of Revelation looking at the churches in your Sunday school. How appropriate. What does God love? What does the Lord Jesus love? He loves local New Testament churches. We can't all be on the mission field. We can't all be preachers. We can't all be pastors, all be deacons. But we can support our local church. What about the reaction from David when his men turned on him? You know, I've got to tell one family story just so that I can live true to my form and embarrass Chelsea. Not really. We like to do a little bit of camping and go bush, that type of thing. And I've got a friend, some of you would know him, Kane Lewis. He says, Ben, we're going up to Mitchell's homestead. Are you coming? I thought, yes, this is going to be a great opportunity to, you know, go into the bush, and it was. And he said, you'll need some camping gear and this and that. And I thought, well, I'm not towing a trailer in there because it's pretty rough. So I thought, I can build myself this nice roof rack and it'll be good. And we can put stuff on it and carry that into the bush. And that was a great idea. Still is. Every time I think about it. So we head from Benalla. It was only, like, looked on the map, you know, Mansfield, 45 minutes. Yep, just a little bit further, and we're into Mitchell's. You go up here, there. Kane says to me, I'm going to put a sign on a tree so you know where to turn in. You'll know it when you see it. So we're, you know, in fine form, you know, I've knocked off early from work. And we're heading out of Benalla, and I'm seeing random strangers, and I'm yelling out, we're going camping! Woo! Kids, doesn't get much better than this, does it, eh? The old man looks after you. So we're heading up there, and we're singing songs in the car, and hit Mansfield, top up the fuel. Don't want to run out of fuel up there. And we head into the bush, and everything's good, and then a few clouds start coming over the hills. It can get really... The weather can change in the high country quick. And so we're heading up these roads and I'm looking for this sign on this tree. You'll know it when you see it, he said. Good idea. So we keep driving. I mean, we're driving for hours. Bolt of lightning, thunder, rain starts coming down. Where are we, Dad? No one's singing anymore. So we turn around after we hit the top of Mount Skene, just about snowing. We turn around and we start heading back and finally we saw some sign. I don't know if it was a rag tied onto a branch or something. That's got to be it. So we head into the bush, raining. That real slick stuff, you know, that clay. And so we're heading in across the creek, left, right. We're like, I don't know, and the car's slewing all over the place. And so we get into the thick of it, and we're like, okay, you know, and the kids are starting to get a little funny. Next thing, we go through one of those check banks, and the whole roof rack just flicks off, lands upside down and slides down this steep, muddy bank. Screaming starts. They thought the car tipped over and stuff. And so we get out and, like, everything's still tied on. You know, a few bits and pieces were mangled and what have you. And I'm slipping and sliding. And anyway, finally we put everything back and did it up properly. And it was all good. But how quickly do they turn on you? It was terrible. I could feel the daggers. And it says here in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. You know, David knows what it's like for people to turn on him. It says he was... He was encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, his reaction as their leader, as their commander-in-chief, when there was talk of some sort of mutiny or treachery or whatever it is, the normal reaction for me is I start defending myself. Is that right, Bridge? I start to fight back. But David didn't do that. He didn't start lining up people and shooting people. He was encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And what does it say? He says he sought God's counsel. He asked for Abiathar the Ahimelech's son to bring the ephod. And you know, when he went to war with the Philistines, which he ought not to have done, he must have had Abiathar the priest and the ephod with him, because when Ziklag was ransacked, everything was gone. There was nothing left. So here he is the whole time having God's word right there with him, and he actually hadn't consulted at all. If he'd asked for Abiathar and the ephod before going to war, I'm sure the answer would have been, don't go. The answer would have been, you need to stay at Ziklag and defend your city because it's going to get ransacked. You know, we need to be sensitive to those things. You know, we've got the Bible right here. Each one of us own it. We can hold it. We can read it. You can put it on your iPhone. You can put it on your PC. It's at our very fingertips. But the problem is, if we don't consult the ephod, that's when we're going to fall. That's when we're going to be where God doesn't want us to be. That's why we need to be aware of what God wants us to do. Use your Bible. Be sensitive to God's word. The other thing I want to look at is this Egyptian slave. If we read into about 13, if you browse through there, you'll see they found this Egyptian slave, a young man who was left for dead. He'd gotten sick, and the Amalekites were pretty chuffed with themselves because they'd just gone into an unguarded city, ransacked it, burnt it, collected themselves a whole bunch of new slaves, a whole bunch of new goods, gold, silver, whatever they had, food. They were able to take all their stock, and they were celebrating. When this young man gets sick, it's like, I don't need you anymore. I've got another one now. And they said, see you later, you're on your own. And they left him for dead. So when David came upon him and they brought this young man to David, he said, I'm a young Egyptian boy. I'm a slave to the Amalekites and I've been left for dead. They found out that these Amalekites had a 3-day head start on them. That's the first thing. The other thing I noticed is that the Egyptian was very interested in saving his own skin. He might have been sick and he might have been tired, but he'd come to himself and he's like, you know what? I can see a way of escape here. And so David says to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me and deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. So David was on a mission. He was going to catch up with these people. This young Egyptian fella, he is wanting to save his skin. Did he ask David to swear on one of the Egyptian gods? You know, I thought about that during the week. And don't we often hear, when we hear of a catastrophe, people who would never acknowledge God ask God for help? And it's funny that in some unique way, people, even in their subconscious, when they're in trouble, know which God is the living God and the true God. And I thought that very interesting, that when this Egyptian boy had been brought up on all the gods of Egypt and maybe not having had much to do with Israel before, makes David swear by the living God that he would be okay. And I thought that was an interesting point. But we see now the result of David's pursuit. Now remember, there were 600 men and 200 got left at the brook Besor. What does it say? It says, they came to the brook Besor where those that were left behind stayed. They were too spent. Such was the effort that it had taken to go to war and then to march back, and it had been several days or at least 3 days that they'd been away, and then finding their families kidnapped, and it says, the Bible says, they wept so much that they had nothing left. They got to this brook, there was nothing left. They had no more left to give. And so 200 stayed behind. And then David is in a different position because he's no longer doing what God doesn't want him to do. He's got himself into a position where he's encouraged himself in the Lord. He's got himself in a position where he's consulted God's word. And he's out doing the work that God wants him to do. And he knows that when he goes out and he does God's work, that there's going to be a certain victory. Because God doesn't fail. And so he takes the 400, so he's only two-thirds his men. And when you read about them coming up onto these people, in my mind, I'm picturing some sort of great battlefield with whole bunches of people celebrating. It says they were. It says that they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And then it says, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. A 24-hour epic battle. I can't even imagine what that must be like. When we talk about 24 hours, when I thought of that 24 hours, I thought of Le Mans, the big race, 24 hours long, day and night, and everything that can go wrong. A 24-hour battle, 400 men against spread abroad upon all the earth, as far as they could see, which, I don't know, might have been miles. But to even have that sort of energy, to be able to carry out that task after walking for days, having grieved over your lost loved ones and over your lost possessions and your homes, and then to pursue them and to battle for 24 hours, non-stop. How is that even possible? How can even a fighter in the ring last a few minutes and these men go for 24 hours? Only by the Lord's good grace can they do that. And it tells us in the scripture that he recovers all. You know, they got all their family back. They got all their possessions back. But it says they even got spoil. And you know, when someone carries out the work that God wants them to do, there's always a reward. There is always an abundance of reward. And it teaches me that not only is God merciful, but he's gracious. He gives us what he promises and more. He never lost a man. All is all. He didn't lose a man in a 24-hour battle. Hand to hand, spears, bows and arrows, whatever they used, they didn't lose a man. What a victory. Wouldn't you celebrate and give God the glory? You would have to. Then you read the sad part of the story. Says that, I think they call them the sons of Belial, the men of Belial. They got all these things that God had given them. He helped them. And they started to turn the people around, and they've picked them up, and they've got reunited with their families, and they've found each other, and they're pushing stock back, and they're loading up, I don't know, backpacks or whatever they do, or loading up things to carry stuff and get it all back there. And they get back to the 200, and these men are saying, because they went not with us, we'll not give them aught of the spoil that we've recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. You know, that's not the way it works. And we as a church send out people. When we as a church support missions, it's not their spoil. When God blesses, this church has a part in the blessing. Each individual person has a part in the blessing. David would have none of it. He would not allow them to have that attitude. And he said, no, everyone's going to get, what does it say? It says, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. David had learned his lesson. When the stuff needs guarding, there has to be people that do it. There has to be people in our churches doing God's work and supporting the mission field. And when those missionaries come back and give us a report, you know, that's the same as us going out into the mission field and carrying out that work. We are partakers in the blessing, and we should not be robbed of that blessing. No, we're not all missionaries. We're not all preachers. But we can take part in the blessing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that the promises in your word pertain to us. They're there for our benefit. We thank you, Lord God, again for this church. And we know, Lord God, that you love it. And we're thankful, Lord God, that we can come here, open your word, and look at some of what our Bible heroes have done. Lord God, and even now, in a sense, that battle that took place and the blessings of it are ours now, and we're thankful for that. And we pray, Lord God, that as we part now and have lunch, you would watch over us all, give us a good time of fellowship together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.